Cracking Copy is a marketing and copywriting podcast where we lift the lid on writing for business and read between the lines of effective copy.
This is a podcast for creative entrepreneurs and savvy business owners like you who understand the value that great copy can bring to their bottom line.
We dive into a different aspect of writing for business in each episode, debunk the myths about how we should write, and explore the ways that writing can be fun, conversational, and creative, while also being high impact for serious results.
So listen, laugh, and learn with us, Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride, as we share our words and wisdom in each snack-sized episode. Expect some light bulb moments, interesting guests, and practical takeaways as we crack the copy code together. Hello and welcome to Cracking Copy. Today we are launching a new mini series all about artificial intelligence and generative AI. So I'm Ella Hoyos and I'm here with my lovely co-host Minnie.
Hi, yes, I'm Minnie.
So business owners often struggle with writing effective copy while managing their businesses. We know that it's typical of our clients and that's why they hire us to do the copywriting. But in this episode, we're going to talk about AI-powered tools like ChatGPT, like Jasper, like Copy AI, and explain how they can help streamline content creation for us these days when it comes to websites, emails, ads, and just generally content. We'll look at how to use these tools strategically, but importantly, without sacrificing authenticity.
Yes, it's a massive topic. It's new and really important, we think. So I think just for a bit of background, where are we currently with AI in the UK now in 2025? I mean, it's been ridiculously fast.
Yeah. Generative AI. Generative AI launched in November 2022, so we're a few years in now, but it's really starting to take off. And what we mean by generative AI is the type of artificial intelligence that can create new content and synthesize ideas. So that includes conversations, stories, images, videos, audio, and music. And where are we? Well, we're moving from this sort of early adoption of this technology. We're in the sort of chasm now between the early adopters and the mainstream. It's becoming more mainstream. There's growing interest, limited widespread implementation at the moment. There is still some skepticism and concerns about AI, which we'll come on to, but people are starting to get familiar with it and we are starting to move through some of that stuff now.
Yeah, so the topic of today obviously is you know, talking about the copywriting tools, you know, is it a game changer or just a gimmick? And, you know, we think it's a game changer and we're going to really talk about that too. So if we look at the tools that are currently available, given that it's been so fast moving, crazily fast, you know, the tools that are available now, they are designed to make us more organized and work faster and more efficiently, which is all great news. But it's not all, I suppose, it's not all great news. There are news articles that predicting 1 to 8 million job losses due to generative AI. Then there's also concerns about copyright laws and specifically, you know, how this will affect the future of creative industries, the music industry, et cetera, intellectual property concerns with music literature, you know, and all these are industries where the, you know, the magic flows from human creativity. And so the question, I guess, is can AI match that creativity? And you know, since the arrival of ChatGPT-3 in November 2022, these days custom GPTs are now creating copy that's nearly good enough to be client facing, ticking all the boxes of tone of voice, etc. But I guess the question would be, isn't AI just replicating what's already there?
Well, we're in the position that human intelligence, the subtlety, the humor, the implication and cleverness that we have innately isn't something that AI can do particularly well, but it can certainly assist.
Definitely, it can. And, you know, as it exists, it essentially copies or mimics human intelligence to perform specific tasks. So general intelligence has so far proven extremely difficult to do, but that's not to say that it won't. And that's, I mean, that can, you know, that can be a bit unsettling. And I think, you know, the humans, we've lived through quite a few revolutions, haven't we? We've lived through the Industrial Revolution and, you know, the arrival of robots with manufacturing and people being out of jobs. But, you know, it doesn't, I think, I suppose it's because it's the human, it's essentially the brain, isn't it, that it's replicating. That's kind of odd and weird.
Yeah. Yeah, the evolution of the revolution. I can't personally say that I've lived through the Industrial Revolution there, Minnie. I think you're dating yourself by saying but throughout the
technology revolution as well.
Yeah. And the dot-com revolution. There's been so many sort of boom and busts of these things that have come, and always it follows the same pattern. We're resistant to change in the beginning, particularly sort of it's the fear of the unknown. What's it going to do? You know, is it going to replace all our jobs? That is something to be that causes concern. And I guess the thing about, the latest large language models like the ChatGPTs, and then when it's replacing the human brain, and that is what sets us apart from every other species on the planet Earth, then that is where it becomes a little bit unnerving. But, let's work with it. We'll, like every other industrial revolution, or every other revolution that's come and gone, we work with it and you come out the other side. And I think we're stronger to go through it rather than be in denial of the fact this thing is happening. Embrace it. Let's play with it. Let's experiment. That's what we're doing. And that's the sort of ethos that we come to this podcast series with, is we're here to experiment and play and report back on what we've found from using these new tools.
Yeah. And I think history would say that, you have to embrace it. And if you don't, you get left behind.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's have a think. We've developed this mini series of podcasts. We're on number one, which is, are these AI tools a game changer or a gimmick? But also in the series, we've got next one, we're going to talk about efficiency and productivity and how we can use AI to help with that. The third one is about the importance of maintaining human touch. And we really believe that strongly, that we still need humans are still needed for this particular phase that we're going through. And number four, it'll be about embracing our new skill sets and what we can do with that. And five, we're looking at the ethical considerations of using AI for writing your copy.
Yeah, and we just hope that this mini series will be really useful for copywriters and business owners to just help you get your head around it, really, and give you some starting points, essentially. So should we have a little look at some of these tools? So some of them have been around for a while, some AI tools, just general tools, such as Grammarly, which is great, for typos, and also having things pointed out that you can actually word it slightly better.
Yeah, so the grammar and spelling, definitely for Grammarly. There's also the Hemingway app, isn't there?
Yes, I did actually. I mean, Hemingway app, I tend to sort of dip in and out of.
So it helps you improve the readability of your text, doesn't it? By identifying what's active voice, what's passive voice, and where you've slipped into writing in passive voice. So it's not as engaging copy. So Hemingway can pick up on that. And these tools have been around for quite a long time. So these are not what we would call generative AI. They're not telling us anything new. They're just analysing the copy that we give it and pointing out what's fact improved.
But the new ones, the new kids on the block, are these generative AI tools. And there are so many of them already. I mean, in the couple of years, there's so many.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the original gangster, the OG of it, was this ChatGPT or OpenAI, who developed ChatGPT, this large language learning model. And then from that have spawned so many other applications based on this open source software.
Yes.
So ChatGPT being the one that we're most familiar with, that Minnie and I are most familiar with, this large language model, which is versatile for copywriting, ideation. It speaks and you can have a conversation with it. It's quite chatty. It's got an empathetic style. It's fast. It's fun. It's easy to use. It's quite creative.
It is. But the newest one that's kind of scared, because obviously that's an American product, American is American, but the Chinese came up with DeepSeek.
Yeah.
Which I've just started using and is quite interesting. And I think the general feeling is it produces context and it's a more of deep logical reasoning, technical precision, reasoning for tasks like coding, number crunching. So it's like a very powerful research assistant.
Yeah.
Thinks deeply and is designed for business. In terms of sort of copywriting, so far I would say that ChatGPT is better. But, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I think for analysis of data, I think DeepSeek is proving really powerful on that part. So, I mean, it is up to you, dear listener, to have a play with some of these tools and to get a feel for them yourselves. But we'll just give you top line from what we know from our research and from our experimentation. There are others in the similar to ChatGPT language-based text-based models like Claude AI. So this is good for contextual and accurate content. The nice thing about Claude and some of the others we'll mention, I think Perplexity, is it includes citations. So it actually says where it's drawn the source of the information from. So that's helpful because you can then go and check. So it makes it a little bit easier to fact check and to know about the provenance of where that answer came from. Perplexity is another tool. It's more research driven copy. It combines generative AI with real time research. So that's great. And again, it provides the citations.
Yeah, then we've got Write Sonic. So I would say that was great for high converting copy. So there's templates galore in there and ideal for comprehensive marketing needs with robust SEO and brand voice tools. So that's another really good one to have a play with. And then another one is Writer, budget friendly and suitable for small scale projects or beginner. And that's spelled R-Y-T-R.
Yeah, check the spelling. Often these are little play on words. So yeah, Writer. There's Quillbot. I know I haven't tried Quillbot, but from what I know, it's good about paraphrasing and clarity. It focuses on improving clarity and conciseness in existing copy. So if you know that you're quite wordy and verbose in what you write, then maybe that's one to have a look at to tighten things up.
Mm-hmm. Then there's Copy AI, which is a productivity tool and excels in team collaboration and short form content, but it is quite costly. So, you know, if you're a small team or you are an individual, that might be too expensive. So maybe try the free apps first.
Yeah. Well, the good news is there is plenty of freemium versions that you can play with that you'll still get great results from. Things like ChatGPT have a number of levels. They've got the free version, which is based on the 3.0 or 3.5 model. And then you can pay $20 a month to get access to a bigger data set, 4.0. And there's an enterprise version as well. And they unlock different features at the different stages, like most software and SaaS products. Finally, I think we'll just mention Jasper AI, which is meant to be great for unmatched speed. It's creative, but it does, again, require a subscription.
Yeah, so many of these tools, as we have mentioned, do include writing templates. They can write in different languages and include some element of brand voice customization.
Yeah, I think the important point is to have a look, you know, choose a tool based on your specific needs, whether that's budget constraint or the content type. Are you producing short form content predominantly, or is it long form? Do you need the research aspect to it? Do you need to know where it came from? So the citations, is that important? Or you know, are you on your own using this tool, or have you got a team? So think about those things. Other considerations, if you don't want to train the large language model as you put your inputs in, if you're dealing with sort of sensitive data, don't put anything too sensitive into these models. The free versions have limited security and privacy. So essentially, you pay for privacy with these models. So if you don't want to train the large language model and put it out there into the data set, then use the paid version. You'll have more control. And yeah, each tool does have its strengths and weaknesses. And the prices typically are in the region of $20 to $30 per month per tool. So,
and that can quickly add up. And I think maybe trying the free versions first. And then if you want to unlock more features, you know, then do that. But I think it would be easy, wouldn't it? Just to go, oh yeah, I must do it. I need to be on all of these. When you don't, maybe hone in on one and see how you go. And usually, it's a month by month basis as well. You're not signed up for a year, are you, generally?
No, as long as you turn off the auto renewal bit so that you don't forget. So sign up, turn off the auto renew, and just try it for a month and see how you feel. All right, so let's get into this now. So what can AI tools do?
Yes, so let's start with the basics. What can they do for businesses? So they can generate headlines, product descriptions, social media posts, you know, even entire sales pages, blogs, you know, you can create pretty much anything for your marketing on AI. But also it can analyze consumer behavior to optimize your messaging.
Yeah, that's what I like to use it for.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, what it can't do, obviously, is to phone up customers and ask them. But what you can then do is to take that information and feed it in, and get the top line results through that. If you're looking at sort of customer voice, that was another way you can use that, which would be really good, and that would, you know, save you a hell of a lot of time and also speed up content creation for businesses. Yeah. Time or in-house copywriters. So
yeah, I love it for that, actually. You know, when you've got some ideas for the social content you want to produce, but you know, short on time, I don't want to be scrolling all day on social. I don't want to be planning my content all day every day. So I like to batch create some, well, at least get the ideas flowing and then add my own personal touch before posting. But I do like it for content creation.
Yeah, definitely. I think the importance here is the human touch, because otherwise, if everybody just used ChatGPT and didn't finesse it, everyone would probably sound much of a muchness.
Yeah. So you see that enough on social anyway, with people replicating, you know, the latest thing that's trending. Everybody jumps on that bandwagon, and all of a sudden you've got a sea of sameness, really. So, yeah, it's important to try and authenticate and differentiate yourself. And that's where we sort of come on to this next thing. We've done a little test to generate some AI content. So, Minnie, do you want to tell us what your prompt is? And I'll tell the listeners what the output we got was.
Yeah, so just an example. So I went into ChatGPT and I just wrote the following. I said, "Hi, Chat. I'm a copywriter and I offer LinkedIn writing to my clients. Please write a short paragraph about why clients should use my services rather than use AI, or write their own copy." So I've then put, "Please write in UK English in a chatty and fun but professional style." I mean, obviously, that is quite a simple prompt. And it also, well, you'll see in a minute, it emphasised the point of, you know, the quality of what you put in is really the quality of what you get out. So it was quite basic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but you've included the three sort of three key things that I think every prompt needs. You've given it some context, who it is. You've told it who it is. You know, you're a copywriter. Hi, Chat. I like the way you called it Chat as well. You've told it, you know, that you're a copywriter. So there's some, you know, who it is, who you want it to be, and you're offering LinkedIn writing to your clients. So you've given it some context, you've told it what you want, a short paragraph about why your clients should use your services, and you've asked it how you want it, the format, you know, in writing a UK English chatty but fun style. So I think it's important to give it that sort of briefing, and it doesn't have to be a long brief, you know, you've got those things in there. And this is the response. Chat has said, "Got it, here's a chatty and fun version." Right, let's be honest, AI-generated posts are about as exciting as plain toast. And writing your own LinkedIn content? That's a fast track to procrastination. That's where I come in. I'll craft posts that sound like you on your best day, engaging, polished, and designed to get the right people paying attention. No more second-guessing every word or settling for lifeless copy. Let's make your LinkedIn work for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's not horrendous. It's not horrendous. It isn't me, but it's not horrendous.
Okay. It's not in your voice, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, if I was stuck, you know, it's a great starting point.
It's got a call to action in there, although it sounds a bit cheesy to me. Let's make LinkedIn work for you. But it is a call to action. So it's got that bit in. Action.
I mean, it's not particularly clever, but it is quite, it's quite funny. It's quite, you know, quite fun. And uh-huh. I think what I would say is either, you know, it's a good starting point, or how can I refine it? So it might be that I then decide to refine my questions to Chat and say, okay, no, I might say, okay, Chat, that's great. It's a little bit cliched. Or I might, you know, I might ask them to include some keywords that I want to put in, et cetera, just to kind of refine that and then work from there. Or I might just take that as a starting point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it probably needs a stronger hook with, let's be honest, is this how it starts? Let's be honest, AI generated posts are about exciting as plain toast. I don't think that's a very particularly strong hook. And actually rethinking about, you know, is that a call to action? Let's make LinkedIn work for you. It's not actually, that's quite vague. It's not telling the reader what to do next. It's just suggesting So it's, yeah, it's not got a strong, particularly strong start and finish. So when you get a bit analytical about it, then it's like, it sounds fun. It's that typical, they're words that look good and are fun to read, but will they actually convert? Will they actually get your reader to take the action you want them to take? And I think you have to be really clear when prompting ChatGPT to give it that information. I need this post to do this thing. And then check it, make sure it is actually going to move the reader and convert into some sort of action.
Yeah, contact me or phone me now or comment below on this post, whatever it is that you want the person to do in order to interact and express interest in your service.
Yeah, okay, good. But essentially, it's taking you off the blank page. It gets your mind working. It gives you something to work with and tussle with, and I think that's a good thing. Now, let's talk about limitations of AI and copywriting, because it all sounds impressive, but let's be honest, AI does have its flaws. It lacks emotional intelligence and persuasive storytelling. It struggles with nuanced brand tone and voice. Often that, you know, that's about how much detail we give it and input it, but on its own, it would struggle with those things if we're not guiding it. And it can create generic, uninspired content as well.
So AI-generated ad copy versus a refined version tweaked by a human copywriter. So what do we think in terms of, I don't know, I was thinking about the Cadbury's Dairy Milk advert, for example, with the gorilla playing the drums to In the Air Tonight. You know, could that concept have been created by AI?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's so out there, but it's so good and everyone remembers it. So I suppose, you know, if you're coming up with ideas and you wanted to come up with, could it ever be that, you know, could AI ever be that quirky, ever be this memorable?
Could it picture a gorilla playing the drums to a classic rock song? I don't know. I think it probably could, because it is generating stuff. It can generate, and there is a special genius to human creativity, but the clue is in that name, generative AI. It might not generate brand new ideas, but I think it can pull together random ideas. So, you know, AI hallucinates, for example. It does make things up, and I think there is something inherently new about the made up thing. All right, it might not be accurate and that's important, but it can throw together random things and make it, you know, sound, it presents it in a confident way, which actually could, you know, feel cohesive, even if it is bullshit. So for an ad agency, I think that ChatGPT or one of these tools could be a bit of a sparring partner. Have it in your brainstorm as a brainstorming partner. Think of it as a new account exec to invite, you know, to your next brainstorming session. And just take the output with a pinch of salt. But maybe there is a seed of something that you can work with that, you know, the real experts in the room, the real humans in the room can work with to develop into the next award-winning advertising creative.
I mean, I'd be really interested. I mean, obviously, I'm not working in an agency. For those people who perhaps are listening who do work for an agency, we would be fascinated to know how you might incorporate generative AI tools in that process, in the initial process, or even the following processes.
Yeah, I'm sure it is in use in lots of workplaces already. But what about brand storytelling? So I'm interested in story more than ever, because while AI produces general generic outputs based on the data sets it's been trained on and what exists out there on the internet, the only thing that we humans really have got to set ourselves apart now is our own personal story, our own lived experiences. And I do think the human touch is critical in all of that. And I don't feel like it can replicate well.
No, because it's stories that set us apart. Our own story is what makes us different. And it's also very often what is the hook for selling a product or a concept or the basis for your company. You know, why you started the company might be such a fascinating story. And I think these are stories that need to be told. And because they are lived and real experiences, they can't be machine created. I mean, you could create a machine story, but it wouldn't be a real one.
Yeah, because ultimately great stories connect with people on an emotional level, and we people buy from people, and people want to, yeah, it has the nuanced understanding. We can tell a story in a way that has a nuanced understanding of human emotions, and that's what makes the story resonate. But an AI tool doesn't have emotion. So it can generate, but it can't generate that emotional, that real feel, intuitive feeling you get from hearing a powerful story.
Definitely. So the human touch is absolutely critical for brand storytelling. And if we look at the different reasons why, so emotional depth and authenticity, you know, it, as you say, it can generate content, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel anything. You know, humans do bring real emotions, you know, personal anecdotes and a sense of authenticity that an audience will trust. But what I guess you can do is to write the story into the AI tool and ask it to write it in a short way or a long way, or, you know, in a way that you, but the actual story itself can't be generated.
Well, it can make up stories, but they're not very good and they're not based on reality either. And I think that shows. And from my experience, having put my own stories into some of these tools and asked them to do exactly what you say, you know, can you shorten it? Can you elaborate on this? What I've found is that the AI tool flattens the story. It strips out some of the magic somehow. So I don't like the way it does that. And I think that we're better off telling our own stories from the heart and writing it in the words that we would use to express, because I don't think these tools do a good job on it. The other thing that they can't really do very well is understand the nuance and the cultural context. You know, language isn't just about words, it's about the tone, it's the subtext, it's the cultural relevance of what we're saying. AI struggles with sarcasm, it struggles with humour, it doesn't get jokes necessarily. It can probably parrot fashion, you know, dad's jokes or joke book jokes, but it misses the point a little bit, and that human expression is lost.
Yes, and the originality of a story, no one's story, because it's their lived experience, is going to be the same. So originality and creativity, you know, the very best brand stories are unexpected, they're thought-provoking, they're emotionally engaging, and these are qualities that require human imagination.
There is some ethics in this as well, and we will do an episode on ethical considerations, but AI doesn't have personal values, but humans do. We have values, we have our whys. We want a human story, want a human storyteller wants to ensure that the message of their story really aligns with their brand's core values. It remains socially and ethically responsible, and we can do that well, but ChatGPT is, we know, it's quite biased. And it just doesn't have, you know, doesn't value values in the way that we do.
Yeah, I think that's true. So to build proper relationships with your customers, you know, sharing real stories, whether that's from a founder or employees or customers, it does foster a deeper relationship with your audience.
Mm-hmm. So I think ultimately the best approach is human first, and maybe human with AI. It can assist, it can generate ideas, it can tell you sorts of stories that you might want to include when you're developing a sales message or something like that. But it can handle repetitive tasks. We know that it does that very well. But at its core, brand storytelling needs to be human voice to truly resonate, to inspire, and to create a lasting impact.
Definitely. So when you talk about, when we're talking about how humans and AI can work together, what is the sort of top line then, do we think? So we can have it as a brainstorming tool.
Yeah.
So idea generation and first drafts.
Yeah, it's great for that.
Data analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So identifying trends, customer behavior, also, you know, putting in your own data and asking it to basically go through it so you don't have to.
Yeah, find patterns, especially where you've got long documents to wade through or lengthy things which are hard to read and boring. Give it to ChatGPT and ask it to pick out the key points. Tell it what you're looking for exactly, and it'll do a great job of that, and it will do it so quick in front of your eyes.
For example, if you use, I don't know those of you that have used Otter before, and
transcription tool.
Oh God, so we use Otter, don't we? So when we have a meeting, and it's brilliant, so it basically transcribes and then just gives you the top line or the action points. So we haven't got to go through and highlight them because it's already done that for us. So
yeah.
Absolutely great for all, you know, AI for all of that. But I do think that to make your content truly convert, you have to have a human touch for refinement, creativity, persuasion, and storytelling. which is just so important. You know, in a world that's so competitive and so much noise out there, you know, storytelling is what can set you apart.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got an example, though, of how I'm using AI to help assist with my copywriting and produce high converting copy. And with ChatGPT, I've learned how to create custom GPTs. So I've created myself an assistant. It's a brand voice analyzer. She's called Sage. Sage Sound. She's very wise and she knows how to read between the lines of the stylistics of copy. So I can feed her, my clients, some writing samples from myself or from a client, whoever's writing samples I want to analyze. And she will come back to me because I've trained her specifically on my process, my way of doing things. So she can tell me at a glance what the vocabulary, the type of vocabulary is in that writing, the cadence and the rhythm of that writing. Are they long sentences? Is this person writing a long style or is it punctuated with short punchy sentences? It gives me an idea of that. And the tone and the personality of the copy as well. So for me, that is when I do this work manually for my clients, it can be a good 5 or 6 hours before I can get to the results. I have to analyze and read a lot of text and work through it and measure stuff and count the words in a sentence to know whether what the cadence is. But with my custom GPT now, with Sage, she can do that in an instant and just spits back out to me, this copy is written like this, and here's the example, and here's the anecdotes that this particular person uses. And that really gives me a snapshot picture, and I can just get it much faster. That will guide me to write then in my client's voice so it sounds more like them. So it's a real helping me on sort of the, we know about a brand's visual identity, the look and the colours and the imagery and the fonts and the typefaces that people use, but this is more about the verbal identity of the brand, and that's how a way that I've been using it to improve my process.
Well, I'm very impressed with Sage. I'd love to have a little play one day on your it sounds absolutely brilliant. So when you say that you feed it, are you feeding meeting notes? Are you feeding previous copy that's been done? All sorts of things. You know, brand guide. Are you able to feed it with anything and everything?
Yeah, it's whatever you want. I mean, normally I'm feeding it with copy that's been published. So not meeting notes, not the general conversation and discussions that I have with clients with all the ums and ahs in it, not necessarily that, but more like work that has already been published. So emails that have been published, web copy, blog posts are great. So it's that kind of content, but ultimately anything can go into it and it will dissect it. So yeah, there's no reason why it couldn't be interview transcripts. That would help understand that brand voice as well from the way people verbally process.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. It is game changing, and that's going to save you so much time.
Yeah, well, what I'd like to get to a place where I have a whole virtual team of assistants, virtual assistants, and I think that's, you know, we're just on this cusp of working out how to make these tools work for us and make us better in business. I think it's exciting times.
I think it's really exciting times. So I think you've set me a bit of a challenge. So I need to create my own GPT now, and I'm going to have a good old think about that and I'll report that the following episode. But
yeah,
I think that sounds really exciting. And as you say, it's so Flurry Marketing has a lot of little AI employees.
My first time. Well, sort of.
Okay, so in conclusion, so why do businesses still need human copywriters?
Well, here's the bottom line. AI is a fantastic tool, but it can't replace strategic thinking. It can't replace our creativity. It can't replace the expertise, the hard-won, hard-learned expertise of a skilled copywriter.
Yes, so I think what we're saying is that if you want truly needle moving copy for your business, AI can assist, but you do need a trained copywriter to get the best out of it. And that's kind of where we are now.
Yeah. And why is that? It's because we understand how to structure copy and how to get copy to convert, then we know how to prompt it. And if you don't understand how copy is engineered and created and the underlying frameworks that support it, that hold it up. If you don't understand those foundations, it's very, it'd be very difficult to get a good result from ChatGPT. You're just going to end up, or one of the AI tools, you will just end up with words that sound pretty, that read well, that are fun to read, but they won't move the needle. And I think that's the difference. Why you still need a skilled copywriter is input. Even if they're working with AI tools, that's fine, but they understand the nuance involved.
Yeah, and I think that's great. All copywriters will be using AI tools because we will, because that's the way it's going. Yeah.
And I don't think that's unique to copywriting industry. I think that's across the board in every industry. I don't think AI will replace your job, but it will replace the people who don't embrace AI and make it work for them.
Yes. So, yeah, those people that are in denial, you know, and think they don't need it, you know, will you be able to operate as efficiently and as effectively without those tools? Because there's literally so many out there, you know, there is something for everybody. And will people be saying, well, I want an in-house copywriter, but they've got to be proficient in using these tools to make them more efficient and faster and better and everything else?
Yeah. And so I just think the word I would put, the recommendation I want to leave everyone with, and the takeaway is just, if you haven't started playing with these tools yet, then just start, you know, just start with the free ones. It's fun. Just have a go, see what they come up with. I'm sure a lot of people are using these already. If you're listening to podcasts, chances are you're using these tools. But if you haven't yet, just have a play. That's my...
Yeah, and please don't miss out on the rest of this series. So please click subscribe so that you are alerted when the next episode of this mini series of 5 comes out. And also, you won't miss any future episodes.
Yeah. And if you enjoyed this episode today, do please leave us a rating and a review. It really helps. It really helps us to reach more people. So thank you.
Yeah, until next time. Bye.
You have been listening to the Cracking Copy podcast with Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride.
Don't miss out on future episodes by making sure you hit subscribe down below to keep up with all our podcasts.
And more details and resources are in our show notes.
So we'll see you next time.